Scripture says you've got to get your own revelation about what God is speaking to you about in His Word. Amen? So I encourage you to do that. And maybe you're thinking about 2018. I've got a slide for you I want to share with you about 2017. Don't forget to take out the trash before 2018. Take out the trash of anger and unforgiveness. Take out the trash of pride and selfishness. Take out the trash of worry and fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Amen? Take it all out. Get rid of that rubbish. Get rid of the bad habits. Get rid of the grudges you have. Take out the trash of the last year. Maybe you're here at church today and you're thinking, you know what? I'm not good enough. I've messed up too much. I've made mistakes. I'm a failure. Forget about the past. Amen? And here's one thing I want to challenge you as you consider your New Year's resolutions. You know, research shows that 98% of New Year's resolutions have failed by 3 months in, by March. So some of you are thinking, oh, I want to eat better. I want to exercise more. That's good. Do it, you know. But do it every day. Don't just do it on January 1. Some of you are thinking, I want to read God's Word more. That's really what I want to challenge you today. Get rid of all the rubbish of 2017 and make sure every day you feed yourself on God's Word. And if you haven't yet been studying the book of Revelation, I encourage you to study it. You know, the Bible says we need to be like the sons of Issachar, knowing the signs of the times, the seasons that we're living in, amen? And the word revelation means unveiling. So I believe that God is going to unveil the truth behind this book. But, you know, there's been many scholars and theologians that have said, this is what it's about, that's what it's about, and we're at this in the timeline, we're in that in the timeline. It's okay to look at that stuff, but don't take it as gospel. Take God's word as gospel, amen? If it's in God's word, you can trust it, amen? And there's many interpretations, so be careful. But I just want to challenge you to make sure you consider the new year. I've got a verse, this won't be on the screen, but I've got another verse I want to share with you, Colossians 3, 7 to 10, just about that taking. Let's just go back to that slide, Anthony, of taking out the trash. I really just want to make sure I make this as clear as I can. Colossians 3, 7 to 10 says, you used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now it's time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you've been stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Amen? Who wants the new nature in Christ Jesus? We need to put it on every day. Get rid of that rubbish. Get rid of the old stuff of the past. Get rid of the anger and the rage and the malicious behavior, the dirty language, the lying. Get rid of it all. And it's a good opportunity at the end of the year. I love the fact that we're having church on the last day of the year. Because really, at the end of the church, you know, I've always wanted to have a sign at our entrance there when you're leaving that says, you are now entering the mission field. Because the reality is, whenever you finish church today, it doesn't mean, oh, that's done and dusted for today. We're finished serving God today. That's actually the beginning of our ministry, amen? So when you exit this building today, you are on the mission field. Put on the new nature of Christ. Be an example. Be a witness for Jesus in 2018. And, you know, you may have some regrets about things you didn't achieve. I actually started looking at a list of things from this year. I was grateful. I had an opportunity to go to Cambodia, to go to the Philippines. I was grateful to be able to do a wedding for Joe and Lisa, who are here at the church. I was grateful to see a great engagement for Joel and Jess, and they're having their beautiful baby recently. I was grateful for Josh's operation. He recovered well and he's gone well. But then I had some tough times. Carol's father passed away this past year. Carol's best friend passed away. I had to do both of those funerals, and it was a hard time for us as a family to grieve the loss of our loved ones. But you know what? A sad face is good for the heart. Amen? When you go through a time of mourning and grieving, and Pastor Dave actually said, sometimes when you have a number of deaths around you, it reminds you of your immortality. Makes you realize that life is just a mist, a breath. It's here and then it's gone. But we'll be in eternity in heaven with Jesus, amen? So let's make every day count. It's good to count your blessings and have a look at the past year, but don't rest on your laurels. Look forward to what God has called you to do in 2018. Are you going to read God's word in 2018 every day? Are you going to commit yourself to be a person of prayer in 2018? Are you going to serve in the church in 2018? Maybe you want to volunteer in kids' church. Maybe you want to join the worship team. Maybe you want to help out with the media team or the sound team. Maybe you want to be an usher or a greeter. Maybe you want to help in the admin team. Where can you serve in 2018? Make every day count. Amen? So I want you to think about that. As everyone's talking about New Year's resolutions, make it every day a resolution to serve God. Amen? And start early in the day in God's word. Okay, so let's dig into Revelation before I get too carried away today. I love this quote from Chuck Swindoll, one of my favorite preachers. We play on Vision Radio. You know, on Vision Radio, we play Chuck Swindoll, Chuck Missler, and Chuck Stanley. Basically, if you call Chuck, we'll play your sermon, you know. He's a great preacher. He says this, God's sovereign plan replaces fear with hope. People all over the world live under superstition, fear of the unknown, apprehension about the future, and an overwhelming feeling that the whole world is out of control. Wars, famines, diseases, natural disasters, all of these tragedies appear to be evidence that chaos reigns. However, the book of Revelation shows that God is working out his sovereign plan, that evil will one day be destroyed, and then in the end, God wins. Amen? Knowledge of this fundamental truth replaces fear with hope and confidence. Amen? I love what Pastor Greg Laurie says, and I've been watching his series on Revelation as I've been preparing for this as well. He says, things aren't falling apart, things are coming together in these end times. Amen? And we just need to remember that one day Jesus is going to come back on that white horse. He calls it Air Horse One. I love that. He says he's going to come back one day and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And you know, it's interesting. Another preacher I've been watching is David Pawson, a great UK preacher. He says, when it comes down to it, I just thought it was so simple because people complicate so many things in the book of Revelation. He said, it's so simple. Comes down to it. Do you want to be stuck on earth for the 7 years of tribulation and maybe lose your salvation and end up in eternity separate from God? Or do you want to reign with Christ for 1,000 years and then be with him in heaven forever? That's your choice. And we need to realize that the book of Revelation is a warning to believers that we must remain faithful no matter what persecution comes. Now, I'm believing I'll be raptured before the 7 years of tribulation, and I hope that happens. But if it doesn't happen, we've got to remain faithful. We've got to persevere. The reality is, if some of us get raptured before the tribulation and some of us are left behind, we've still got to remain faithful to the gospel, amen? Doesn't matter what your theology is or whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Personally, I'm pan-trib. I just love Jesus and it'll all pan out in the end, amen? But no matter what you believe on it, the heart of the book of Revelation is to remain faithful to Jesus. Remain faithful to the calling that God's placed on your life. No matter how severe and tough the persecution is, no matter how bad the tribulation gets, remain faithful to our Father in heaven and to the call in our life. Amen? Okay, let's have a look at Revelation. For those who've just joined us, we've already preached through, where the Apostle John got the revelation of Jesus and the word for the seven churches, and there's quite relevant messages for each of us that came in that series. If you've missed those sermons, they're all available at our website, newhopebrisbane.com. You can listen anytime you like. We've talked about the 7 years of tribulation, the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. We've talked about the 7 years of tribulation, and we're at chapter 15, which is kind of in the end of the 7 years of tribulation. Let's have a look at Dr. Tony Keyes, in his book "I Was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day," explains that Revelation 15 talks about in these two chapters, John takes us back through the chronological events of the tribulation, following on from the sounding of the seventh trumpet. John now describes in some detail the events in the second half of the tribulation and of God's wrath being poured out from vials or bowls of those who worship the Antichrist. On that of that sea of glass and fire are standing those who have won the victory over the beast and the Antichrist and his image, name and number. These are obviously the martyred saints of the tribulation who have remained faithful unto death instead of yielding to the demands of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Just as in the Old Testament, the Israelites passed through victoriously through the Red Sea, so too these ones have passed through the tribulation and now stand victorious over the powers of the unholy Trinity. So when we talk about the unholy Trinity, we're talking about Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Okay, let's look at verse 1. Then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire, and on it stood all the people who'd been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them, and they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Now, I can remember as a youth pastor at the age of 17, 18 years old, I'd just come to the Lord at the age of 15, had a dramatic conversion, got baptized on New Year's Day when I was 15 years old, and I was at Coffs Harbour Baptist Church, and the associate pastor was my best friend's dad. His name was Keith Ham, and my best buddy was Matt Ham, his son, who he actually memorized all of Romans 8, and I remember I was so inspired to memorize God's word. And my best mate was Matt Ham. My other good mate was Charlie Bacon. We'd get together and have a pig out together all the time. It was great. But I remember Keith Ham led a song. It was a Vineyard song, actually. And it said, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, for you are the King of nations. Who shall not fear you? Who shall not glorify your name, O Lord? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed." I can still remember at that time, and we were singing a lot of Vineyard songs in our church, and Dave and Shelley and Carol and I, we were all in a Vineyard church before we were at New Hope. Who loves Vineyard worship music? One of the beautiful things about John Wimber and the Vineyard movement, Brian Dirksen and David Ruiz and all these worship guys, they wrote songs that just worship God. And so many of these songs come straight from the book of Revelation. So many of these songs, as you read through the book of Revelation, and I really believe they ushered in intimacy in worship. Because before that, it was like you could sing a hymn and you could sing about how awesome God was, but it was almost like God was off in a distance. But one thing I find about all the beautiful Vineyard songs is they're intimate love songs between us and the Father, all about the Father's heart. And I love the fact that as worshippers, we can actually sing a new song to the Lord. I loved it after, the second song today. Mike and Rach just played a little bit and we could sing a new song to the Lord. I want to encourage you in your worship. Don't just sing the words on the screen. Sing a new song to the Lord. Amen? This is a song that Moses sung in the Old Testament, and John is here repeating it in the book of Revelation. It's a new song unto the Lord. Great and marvelous are your works. And you know what? If you struggle coming up with a new song to the Lord, steal something from the Word of God. I remember memorizing this scripture at the age of 16 when I was at Coffs Baptist Church. And it takes me back to that time. You know how sometimes a worship song or a song can remind you of a time in your life? And I can remember I just got baptized. I was so in love with Jesus, so passionate to be. I just started working in Christian radio. I had a dream to do something on Christian radio that might reach Australia. It was at 16 year old, no talent whatsoever. I'd get on the radio. I was hopeless. I used to get on the radio and say, "Oh, that was a song from Elton John called Rendezvous." It was pronounced rendezvous, but I'd pronounce it Rendezvous. You know, on the radio, they'd teach you that you've got to say it's a quarter past two or a quarter to three. And I'd get mixed up and I'd say, "The time is 2 minutes to half past 2 o'clock." It's like, I was hopeless on the radio. But you know what? At that young age, I started worshiping God. I started writing down my dreams and my visions. You know, Habakkuk 2:2 says, "Get the vision, write it plain so that those that read it might run with it, amen? At that young age of 16, I started worshipping along to songs like this, and I fell in love with Jesus, and I dared to dream that God had a plan for my life. How many of you know God's got a plan and a purpose for everyone? One of the keys to following God's will for your life is being a worshiper, amen? Worship the Lord. When we see worship lyrics in the Bible, don't just skim over and go, oh, that's just another song. Look how deep it is. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, for you are the King of nations. Who will not fear you? Who will not glorify your name, O Lord? For you alone are holy. All the nations will come and bow before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. Amen. Okay, let's look at verse 5. Then I looked and I saw the temple in heaven. God's tabernacle was thrown wide open. The seven angels who were holding the seven plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in spotless white linen with gold sashes across their chests. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke, with God's glory and power. No one could enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues. So Tony Keyes says in his book, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, of this verse, he says, John hears a voice coming from the inner sanctuary of the temple in heaven, commanding the seven angels to pour out the vials on the earth. This voice is undoubtedly God's voice. One by one, these winged messengers leave the inner sanctuary and descend upon the earth to pour out the contents of these vials. They then leave the scene as quickly as they came, like the striking of a hammer. The judgments which they bring are far more powerful and potent than anything before. So we've been reading through the book of Revelation of these terrible judgments that will come across the earth. This is like the worst of the worst. Unlike the previous judgments, which affected a third of the earth, these judgments are universal, unrestrained, affecting every person who's taken the mark of the beast and have worshipped his image. So 2 weeks ago before Christmas, we preached on Revelation 13 and 14, which talks about 666 being the mark of the beast. And some believe, and I'm not saying this is gospel, but there are some theories, they believe that it'll be a microchip either on your hand or your forehead, and you won't be able to buy or sell anything unless you have that mark. Has anyone seen the Left Behind movies? Yep, so Carol and I have actually watched Tribulation Force. So there's Left Behind 1 and Left Behind 2. We've just been watching it recently to research in this. And it's fascinating. There's the Antichrist, a guy named Nikolai Carpathia, who runs the UN. And he started this one world religion. And there's these Christian guys that are trying to expose him. And it's all fascinating. But they can't buy or sell anything unless they have the mark of the beast. And so it's one thing as believers. However it is going to be, you know, that's just speculation about how it could be. But however it's going to be one day, we've got to make sure we don't accept the mark of the beast, that we follow the way of Jesus. And here's the warning here. For those that have accepted it, it will be universal, unrestrained, affecting everyone that's taken the mark of the beast or worship the image of the Antichrist. John tells us that the first angel leaves and pours out his vial upon the earth, and there appear upon the followers of the Antichrist hideous and painful sores. The word sore in the Greek is the word helkos, which means ulcer. Not ordinary ulcers, but incurable ulcers that eat away the skin, leaving open wounds like a deadly cancer. The kind of thing you don't want to get. Okay, let's go to Revelation 6. Isn't this a nice sermon for the last day of the year, hey? You don't hear this preached in many churches these days, do you? I'm just telling you, this wasn't my idea. God spoke to me a few months ago, very clearly, and he said, I want you to teach through the book of Revelation. Prepare the church for what is to come one day. Could be in 2018. Could be 2019. Who knows when it's going to be? But we need to know what is to come. Amen? This apocalyptic scripture from the book of Revelation jumps forward and back in time. It talks about the tribulation, talks about the millennial reign, talks about different things here and there. It's got different interpretations. What we need to do is make sure we don't ignore it. Amen? That we bring it to the light and ask the Lord to lead us through this time that is yet to come. There's been a massive increase in Bible prophecy in this last 10 or 20 years. And as a church, we prayed this morning, didn't we, in the prayer room? Lord, open our eyes to see. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen. I believe in this time we're in, the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches, get ready for what is to come. Amen. Are we going to be a bride getting ready for the return of Jesus? Amen. Three people are excited. That's good. Let's keep going. Revelation 16. Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath. So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. Can you just imagine that? Every animal, my goodness. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, you are just, O Holy One, who is and who was, because you have sent these judgments. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward. And I heard a voice from the altar saying, yes, O Lord God Almighty, your judgments are true and just. The identity of the voice out from the altar has promoted much discussion. However, it's generally accepted by Bible scholars that the voice is the voice of the martyred believers. Firstly, the word another is not in other original manuscripts. Secondly, the only other place the voice is heard is in Revelation 6:9, where we have the martyred saints crying out to God for the vengeance upon the Antichrist followers. You know, I believe as a church, we need to be educated about the persecuted believers across the earth. Who's heard of ministries like Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors, Barnabas Fund? It's so important that we support these ministries that care for persecuted believers. You know, recently my kids and I watched a documentary about Richard Wurmbrand, who is the founder of Voice of the Martyrs. He'd survived 14 years of cruel imprisonment, suffering torture and extreme danger in a communist Romanian prison. He was eventually ransomed by Western Christians. And this is his word to the church in 1967. The message I bring from the underground church is, don't abandon us. Don't forget us. Don't write us off. Give us the tools we need. We will pay the price for using them. This is the message I've been charged to deliver to the free church. We must not forget to pray for the persecuted church. Amen. The Bible says when one part of the body suffers, every part suffers. Here in the West, we don't really know what persecution is, do we? You might have got picked on at your Christmas lunch for going to church. You might have a relative that says, oh, what are you wasting your time going to that church for? You might get a little bit of conversational persecution. But how many of you know the Christians in North Korea are some of the most persecuted people on the planet? In India, churches are getting burned down. You just see it in the news. I saw it in the last couple of days. In Egypt, I think it was. Coptic Christians had churches burned down. Horrific persecution of believers all across the world. We must pray for our brothers and sisters who are going through persecution. We must support them and stand with them. Educate ourselves about them. We must never forget to pray for them. Many Christians are under cruel, nationalistic and militant governments. But we also need to supply them with the tools. You know, our brother Andrew, who started Open Doors, he used to smuggle Bibles into China in a little V-dub. And he birthed this ministry called Open Doors, which now has ministries all over the world supporting underground believers. I've actually got friends who work for them who've been in North Korea, who've seen the prison camps, who've seen how dangerous and horrific it is. And you know what? We need to pray for them and resource them. And the prayer that they pray, and it's from the book of Revelation, they say, Lord, strengthen those that remain. Matter of fact, let's just pause right now. Let's pray for persecuted believers. Join with me. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to stand in the gap and pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in nations like North Korea, in India, in Egypt, all throughout Africa and all throughout the Middle East and the Muslim nations. Many Christian brothers and sisters are being martyred for their faith. There's been an increase of attacks against Christians. Christianity is the most persecuted religious group in the world, Lord. We stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters. We pray you'll strengthen those that remain. Lord, we pray there will be a harvest of souls for our persecuted brothers and sisters. Lord, we pray that as a church, you'll awaken us to stand in the gap for them, to resource them, and to see them thrive in the midst of the persecution they're under. We stand with them and we pray for your blessing and your hand upon them in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Let's continue to pray and stand in the gap for our persecuted brothers and sisters. Let's look at verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him the glory. Let me just pause there. This still blows me away that in the midst of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the false prophet, this terrible tribulation, the grace of God is still available. It's still the age of grace. There's still time for people to turn back to God. Yet, after all this horrific stuff happening around the world, they did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Verse 10, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores. But they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies towards the west without hindrance. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. This is better than Lord of the Rings, isn't it? They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for the battle against the Lord on the great judgment day of the Almighty. Verse 15, look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all those who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready so they don't have to walk around naked and ashamed. Who's watching for the Lord? Blessed are all those who are watching for the return of the Lord. Verse 16, and the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Now the Bible scholar John F. Wolwood, in his research of commentaries, found out that there are over 50 interpretations of who the kings of the East were. We simply must resign ourselves to the fact that the scriptures don't tell us who the kings of the East are, but one day we'll know. As these Eastern kings prepare to attack the Antichrist, John tells us that unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouths of the unholy Trinity and are sent to deceive the kings of the East. The Greek language seems to give the picture of these evil spirits being breathed out of the mouths of the unholy Trinity. John describes them as spirits of demons. It's interesting that it talks about the Battle of Armageddon. My wife and I, on our trip to Israel a couple of years ago, we were there at the Valley of Megiddo, which is where the word Armageddon comes from. We've seen this plain, and it's actually a plain that they say is the most perfect place to have a battle because it's surrounded by hills and they could all come around from the different hills and converge for battle in the middle there. The reality is this is still, we've always got to remember reading Revelation that it's the Apostle John in the first century trying to describe something that will probably happen in this century at some stage. We don't know the day or the hour, but it's probably, you know, and so when he talks about all these different things, we've got to think, you know, how does that transpose to our day and age? But we also need to realize that there's a lot of spiritual analogies used in the book of Revelation. There's lots of geopolitical shifts going on in Jerusalem right now, but there's a lot of theopolitical stuff, a lot of spiritual things happening right now in Jerusalem. How many of you know every demon in the world would want to be in charge of Jerusalem right now? How many of you know every stronghold demon would be fighting in the spirit realm in Jerusalem right now? But how many of you know, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, amen? Us believers, we have authority over the enemy, amen? So we've got to realize, we've got to remember, when it talks about battles and last days, there's lots of spiritual battles going on as well as the physical battles. The events in this section should firstly compel us to keep the words of Revelation 16, 15. I believe they are central verses in the whole book of Revelation. To watch and keep our lives clean by avoiding sinful action. Just like I said before, take out the rubbish from 2017. If you've got unforgiveness, if you've got addictions, if you've been wasting your life, heading in the wrong direction, get rid of that stuff. Live a life as a believer in Jesus. If you had to stand in court today and be accused of being a Christian, is there enough evidence in your life that you're a believer in Jesus? It's easy to be a Christian at church, by the way, because we're all lovely here, aren't we? You come to church, everyone's friendly and happy. It's easy to sing along to the songs. You can wear your Sunday best. You can look good here, but what are you like at home? What are you like when no one's looking? You know, integrity is living right before God when no one else is watching. What are you like in the early hours of the night? What are you like on the internet when no one's looking? What are you like when you catch up with your old mates or your old friends and family? Are you a follower of Christ 24/7, 365, or just for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning? I believe reading through the book of Revelation, studying it, has been a wake-up to me to make sure I'm not faking it until I make it, to make sure I'm not just talking the talk. I've got to walk the walk in my marriage, the way I raise my kids, and the way I drive my car, the way I handle my finances, the way I relate to my relatives and friends and family. Every part of my life has to be a reflection of Christ, amen? Are you watching? Are you living the life to honor God in every part of your life, in your words, your thoughts, and your actions? Keep your lives clean and avoid sinful action. Secondly, be involved in any small way to present the truth of Christ to all so they can make the right decision of following Jesus as Savior and not be found in the valley of the wrong decision on that terrible day. As an evangelist, this series has woken me up to realize that time is short. Jesus is coming back soon. We need to make the most of every day to preach the gospel, amen? You know, I think this year's been a good year. We've got a new bus for the church. We're picking up people from the homeless shelters. We're getting about 50 people along to our King's Table. The church has grown a bit. That's good. We're doing some missions work here and there. But you know what? We just scratched the surface of what God's called us to do. God is wanting the church to be a glorious bride before his return, amen? God's even speaking to some people to sell up everything and travel around Australia to preach the gospel. That's crazy. That's foolishness. It's crazy. And John Wimber, who we've been talking about this morning from the Vineyard Church, when he first came to Christ, he saw a street preacher that had a sign that said, "I'm a fool for Christ." And on the back of it, it said, "Whose fool are you?" When you're a follower of Christ, you've got to be willing to be a fool for Christ. You've got to be willing to give up everything to go and find the pearl of great price. You've got to be willing to say, you know what? I'm not going to live my own way anymore. I'm going to live for Jesus. And one day we'll be rewarded for the good works we've done. Amen. We won't get saved by our good works. We're only saved by grace. Amen. But we're saved to do good works. And then we'll be rewarded for the talents we've invested for the kingdom. The story is told of a U.S. naval ship with Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in October 1995. This radio conversation was released by the Chief of Naval Operations. "Americans, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision." The Canadians, "Recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." The Americans, "This is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course." Canadians, "No, I say again, you divert your course." The Americans, "This is the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. The Canadians responded, "We are a lighthouse. It's your call." You know what? Many of us are on our own path, thinking we're going in the right direction. And maybe the Lord's telling us, hey, I've called you to go this way. You know, the Bible warns us that the road to destruction is wide, but the path to eternal life is narrow. The Bible tells us that there'll be a still small voice behind us, the Lord saying, don't go this way or that way. This is the way, walk ye in it. I don't know how your year has been in 2017, but maybe you've been heading towards an area that you thought was right, and you just had to go this way, but it's actually the wrong way. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. Just like that U.S. naval ship realized, that's actually the wrong way. We better divert. The lighthouse won in the end. I'm here to tell you, our God is immovable. You can't argue with God. You can try, but He is God. He is omnipotent. Amen. He is all powerful. He is omniscient. Amen. He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. Amen. He's everywhere. You can't escape the call of God for your life. And in these last days that we are entering into, I believe we're in the last of the last days. I believe time is so short. I believe the Lord told me to preach on this. Pastor Dave and I have been teaching through this series, and it has awakened us as men of God. It's awakening us as a church to realize time is short. We must not waste another second, another minute, another hour, another day without going in the direction God's called us to go. Now, if there was a target on that wall there, and I had an arrow, and I was a little bit off, I'd miss the target, wouldn't I? Where you start determines where you end up. And the end is much more important than the start. If you're a little bit off in 2018, you'll miss the mark of where God's called you to go. Start 2018 right. Start 2018 praying. You know, across Australia tomorrow morning, 4:40 a.m., here in Brisbane, Mount Gravatt, there's going to be Christians praying in the new year. As the sun rises on 2018, they're going to be praying, and they're going to start. And Byron Bay is where it's starting, the most east coast point of Australia. They're going to be praying in the new year. And then it's going to be Brisbane and other, and then all in Sydney and Wollongong, in Victoria, all around Australia. As the time passes, Australia, we are going to be one of the first nations with New Zealand that's going to be praying in the new year. And we're starting a prayer relay that will then trigger around the island nations, will trigger in America, will trigger in India, in Africa. All the continents of the world are going to be praying in the new year to start the year on the right foot with God. Amen? And I love the fact that we are one of the first ones that started here in Brisbane, because this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. God has a destiny and a purpose for this nation. And as my brother and sister here march around this nation, I believe they're going to see a revival wherever they go. They've sold up everything to go and follow God's call. What are you willing to lay down for God's call? How are you going to bear fruit in 2018? Time is short, friend. We live in the last of the last days. It is exciting times. God chose us to be His end times church. You must be pretty special. You must be pretty gifted. You have the resources available. You have the gifts and the talents available to be a history maker. How are you going to make history in 2018? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You love us and you have a plan and a purpose and a destiny for every one of us. Lord, we do want to ask for your forgiveness for the time we've wasted in 2017. Forgive us for being off course. Forgive us for trying to build our own kingdom. Your word says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Lord, we don't want to labor in vain. We don't want to miss your call for our life. We want to be your bride, getting ready for your glorious return. Make us ready, Lord. Fill our lamps with oil, Lord. Wake us up to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. And may we bear much fruit in 2018. Stretch out our tent pegs. Enlarge our territory. Just like Isaiah, we pray, here am I, send me. Send us out to seek and save the lost. Forgive us, Lord, for our selfishness, for our pride, for our greed, for our jealousy, for our apathy. Forgive us, Lord, for entertaining godless myths and being distracted from the truth of the gospel. Help us get back to the heart of the gospel. Help us get back to being the bride you've called us to be. We repent and we turn from our wicked ways. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from my wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We prophesy that over our nation. Lord, heal this nation. As a church, we repent and we turn from our wicked ways and we surrender our lives afresh to you today. We commit 2018 to you, Lord. May we start this year on the right path in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. Just believe that we need to just have a moment just dealing directly with the Lord right now. It's going to give you about a minute, and I want you to confess your sins to God. Whatever the Holy Spirit's convicting you of, those areas of your life, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another so that you might be healed. If you want to receive that healing today, confess your sins right now to God. Thank you, Lord, that your word says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wash over us today. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, if today you want to get your life right with Jesus, I can pray with you today a prayer where you can surrender your life to Christ. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then you'll be saved. The Bible says all those that call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. If today you want to give your life to Christ, I just want you to put your hand up high and I'll pray with you today. Is anybody here that wants to say, yep, this last day of 2017, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I want to be saved. If that's you, just put your hand up high and I'll pray with you today. Good on you, brother. I see that up the back there. That's awesome. Anybody else? Yeah, get on your mate. That's fantastic. Anybody else? There's two people here. Just put your hand up high if that's you, if you want to give your life to Jesus today. Have your sins forgiven. Be born again. Let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's give these guys, these brothers a hand that prayed that prayer today. Pastor Dave, if you just come up the front here and if I just have those two guys come out and Pastor Dave can give you a Bible and some information about following Jesus, and we can pray with you today. Come out the front here, brother. We'll pray for you today as well. We're going to open the altar for prayer as we close the service today. And maybe